Good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Path to Liberty. It is Wednesday morning, August 21st, 2019. Now, personally, I see facial recognition surveillance as one of the most dangerous kind of Big Brother things that we're facing today. And when you combine it with things like predictive policing or threat assessments, I think it kind of creates this perfect storm for a real-life dystopian nightmare. So I've done a lot of shows on facial recognition, from the TSA using it at airports, to how to opt out of it, to the DHS plan to ramp it up basically everywhere, expand it all over the place. I've covered Amazon's recognition system, which is being pushed on a lot of law enforcement agencies and being used all over. And then, of course, efforts in cities and states to either opt out or ban this kind of surveillance. So today I want to do another update. I think this is like the seventh or eighth episode on facial recognition that I've done. I want to do the latest of what's happening in places like Detroit, Sacramento here in California, and then a little bit probably in New York City as well. But first of all, before getting to that, my name is Michael Bolden. We broadcast live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time from here in my home office and studio in downtown Los Angeles for the 10th Amendment Center. We have our live channels at places like YouTube, Facebook, Periscope, and elsewhere. We also have archives of the video version at BitChute and Brighteon.com, plus podcast editions, iTunes, Spotify, and all the other major places, Stitcher, elsewhere. You can find all of our archives, all the places to follow us, links in the show notes to things that I talk about, over at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/path to liberty. Again, 10thAmendmentCenter.com/path to liberty, all spelled out, spelled out. I do want to say hello over to everyone in the live chat. I appreciate you guys joining me. And if you can't make the live chat, that's cool too. I'm very grateful for everybody who shows up in the archives, leaves some comments, sends an email over to team at 10thAmendmentCenter.com and the like. But hello over to Ward Lawrence, Andrew Nappy, Austrian Watchman, Justin B., Tyler B., Funky Euphemism, Cannabis Heals Me, good to see you as well, over on YouTube, Facebook, Thomas and others joining over on Facebook. I appreciate you guys spending some time with me today. I'm curious what you think of what's going on as I talk through this, because I basically want to go over what's happening in these locations so you guys get an idea of what happens behind the scenes and the kind of bullcrap arguments, the misleading kind of evidence that they give us as to why we need to have facial recognition surveillance. And if you are like me, you believe that persons, houses, papers, and effects includes your face, and so that if they're scanning it without probable cause and keeping a database of it, they're basically taking a record, an electronic digital record of your face, in violation of the federal constitution for the federal agencies. And then in almost every situation, state agencies, local law enforcement are violating state constitutions, which almost all have something that mirrors the Fourth Amendment in the federal constitution. So this is pretty interesting stuff, at least in my mind. So let's get into this. I've got, again, the links will be in the show notes. I usually publish all of that to our website anywhere from 15 minutes to an hour after doing the live broadcast. So let's go through some of these articles. First of all, over in the Detroit News, this actually was yesterday, it looks like. Rashida Tlaib, I believe is how you pronounce her name, and the Detroit police chief, James Craig, are having some back and forth. They're talking about facial recognition. And she basically tweeted out on Tuesday opposition to this law enforcement tool, according to the Detroit, this is how they put it. She tweeted out her opposition to the controversial law enforcement tool with police have employed for about a year and a half. This is how she put it. You should probably rethink this whole facial recognition she's linking to an article from Bernie Sanders, who's calling for a national ban on facial recognition. I do not want the federal government, who is the worst violator of your right to privacy, your natural right to privacy, who spies on everyone almost constantly. I do not want the federal government in charge of protecting privacy on a state or a local level. The Constitution doesn't authorize it, And I think if you hand this type of power to Washington, D.C. to have oversight or to protect us on a state or local level, it's going to be bad. So, Bernie, bad news on this. Surprise, surprise. But opposition to it is very positive. Now, the unfortunate part is because so many people, instead of thinking about a policy and only care about personality or party, they'll see Rashida Tlaib and say, oh, well, she's opposed to this facial recognition bull. Well, it's got to be good then. Or Bernie, he's an idiot on everything else. But that is a cult of personality. I know a lot of people are caught in that trap, and it really works well to oppress people. So while I think Rashida and Bernie are probably pretty evil and pretty dumb on a lot of things, economics, for example, I don't think that they're necessarily wrong on opposing facial recognition. I think they're both, if they're pushing a national plan on it, are certainly wrong or misguided, possibly dangerous on a so-called solution. But opposing facial recognition surveillance, mass warrantless surveillance, is a positive thing. So unfortunately, that is kind of created a partisan hackery pro or con on this. But the police chief is going after her as well. He says nobody ever talks about the victims in these cases. And this is the standard government line, that everything that they do is to protect you. And if you take my approach on this or something similar, you know that when government says we're going to protect you, they're either ripping you off of your money or your liberty, because government does a really, really bad job at protecting anybody. And so this is what the police chief says. No one ever talks about the victims. I would offer a word of caution to the congresswoman about using that kind of language and referring to technology that gives these grieving family members closure. So, of course, man, I don't even know where to go with that. It is always, quote, for the children. The Patriot Act was for the children. The war on terror is to protect us from just terrorists. They weren't ever going to use this on the general population. It can never be expanded, of course. And that's kind of the debate that's happening in Detroit. But it's not just out of nowhere. What's been going on in Detroit is something that I think is probably very likely happening all over the place. It's just that it actually has had some media attention. It started out locally, and now it's actually starting to grow to a national attention, some national coverage on what's happening. And let's get a little background on this here as well. Mike Meharry, we published an article from him last week on what's going on. It's titled, Detroit Mayor Misleads Public About Facial Recognition as Debate Over Spy Program Rages. He starts it out with this: revelations that the Detroit Police Department has implemented a facial recognition system with no public input or approval has sparked controversy in the Motor City. The mayor and other city officials have tried to cover up the extent of the program. This image here is an actual image from Detroit. I'm not sure if it's using a facial recognition camera, but they have this thing called Project Greenlight in Detroit, where they very publicly, I think it was back in 2016, said that they were going to be connecting both public and privately owned, or government owned and privately owned, cameras to have kind of a backup to protect people on crime. Now, out of nowhere, the city spent, and this comes from Mike's report again, spent more than $1 million on facial recognition technology the year after, in 2017. But Dugan, who's the mayor there, sent out what the Detroit Free Press called a, quote, a definitive-sounding tweet that seemed to assert that the police department was not and would not be using the technology. He said, let me be clear. There will be no facial recognition software used with live stream video by the Detroit Police Department. That's not what we're doing, and that's not ever what was intended. And the reason for this is because it's against the law for them to actually implement this type of technology without prior approval. They're not allowed to do this. So the fact that it came to light that they spent $1 million on facial recognition technology, a lot of people are like, oh man, what are you doing that for? You aren't authorized to implement it. So he comes out and says, okay, we're not using it on live stream video. And Mike puts it this way, says Dugan was clearly trying to muddy the water and hoping to deflect criticism from a wildly controversial surveillance program. That's an understatement, Mike. Usually he's a little bit more hardcore on those, but this is not just wildly controversial. It's totally illegal. It's illegal under the Michigan Constitution. It's illegal under statute. It's illegal under local ordinance. They're not authorized to do this. After all, Mike writes, why would a city spend $1 million on technology it wasn't going to use? So was he lying? Well, I think so. I think he was intentionally trying to mislead. He used very specific words in that tweet to claim that Detroit, or to give the impression, at least to some people who aren't really paying attention, that there's nothing to worry about. Trust the cops, of course. And Mike points out that if you carefully read what he said, you will realize that he never claimed that the police department wasn't using facial recognition at all. He just said it wasn't using it on, quote, live stream video. He says that, again, let me be clear, there will be no facial recognition software used with live stream video. Now, for anyone who knows how these systems work, and I have a pretty decent idea now as I've gone through this kind of process with you guys who've been with, at least for those of you who've been with me all along doing going through all these shows, for those of you who want to look in the archives, I probably should start just posting links to all of those as well. I'll try to do that for today's archive as well. But you know that no one, none of these law enforcement facial recognition programs actually use live stream video for their matching. Here's how Urban Institute Justice Policy Center senior policy analyst Daniel Lawrence, well, that's a long one, told the Detroit Free Press. This is a difference without any real distinction. Quote, in all my experience with facial recognition, the way the process and programming works is that it takes a still image from the video. I'm not knowledgeable of any facial recognition software that's taking real video. It's taking a still from a video. So no one's actually, what it's doing is, this video we know is a series of images. If you remember as a kid, you may have flipped through cartoons and made your own little video and a little book just by passing through. That's how what really makes up a video is each frame, for example. So this is 30 frames per second on this particular video. So every second you could pause it and use software and extract 30 different still images. So there is no actual live stream facial recognition matching. It is pulling a match of a still image. And so Mike goes into some more of this background. Detroit has developed an extensive surveillance system known as Project Greenlight, utilizing a network of thousands of government and private cameras throughout the city. They're installed at schools, parks, apartment buildings, immigration centers, gas stations, churches, hotels, fast food restaurants, and even in places such as addiction centers and abortion clinics. It was implemented in 2016 and was generally popular due to the promise that it would help solve crime. Of course, government's going to protect us. And I've done a number of episodes on this recently talking about how when you give them an inch, if you turn a blind eye, you allow them to have one power today for some good reason. And in fact, I'll cover this probably again a little bit more on the anniversary of George Washington's farewell address this next month. And if you give them a little power, even if you trust the people in power today to use it in the way that they tell you, that they're not lying, if you rely on them to tell the truth, which is really a bad choice, and you hope that they're going to be in office forever to make that exact same choice, another bad choice, and you hope that they'll never flip-flop like politicians always do, another bad choice, then you're also hoping that no one else gets in office that wants to expand that power later on. So never, ever trust politicians. They lie, they flip-flop, and new ones come in. Even if you love the one that you have now, every power you give them today is going to be used by someone else that you may not like or trust in the future. And Mike points this out as well. Like virtually every government program, the surveillance network has expanded over time. Now the revelation that the police are using facial recognition with the camera system has sparked controversy and put it in operation. They put it into operation without approval from the elected board of police commissioners that is supposed to provide oversight and accountability for the department. Now, most boards of police commissioners in major cities are really just rubber stamps anyways, but the fact that they even skipped this rubber stamp process, I think, tells you a lot about the nature of government and government power. As soon as they can get their grimy hands on something, they'll go with it, and then maybe they'll worry about backlash later on. Now, this has come to light in Detroit because some activists are very much opposed to it. Now, it may not come to light in other cities. It's probably being used all over the place. There are some estimates that I've seen in recent days that say at least 25% of major cities are already using this, and I think that's only going to go up. We're only at the beginning. It's definitely not just them. Now, a lot of people talk about this in relation to racial issues. It is absolutely certain that facial recognition software does really bad job. Does a really bad job on people of color. But that should not be your reason to oppose it. And I say this over and over, and for those of you who are tired of hearing it, I think I got to say it again because it's really, really important. If the only reason to oppose facial recognition is because it disproportionately mismatches people who have darker skin color, sooner or later, they're going to figure out how to reduce that error rate to the same as Caucasians, and then everyone is going to be screwed one way or the other. Do not give them the foot in the door to make the claim that your only issue was race. Now, certainly, we all, I think, especially where I grew up in Milwaukee, which was incredibly segregated, you knew where people lived based on their racial background. When I was a kid, it was really, really segregated back then in the 80s and the 70s, late 70s. And certainly, there were all kinds of investigations. The driving while black issue is a real thing in many areas. So I understand why people find this to be a really, really nasty thing. And some they're talking about this. Some of the activists say this, and here's from The Guardian. This should be the last place police use the technology because it can't identify one black man or woman to another. Every black man with a beard looks alike to it. Every black man with a hoodie looks alike. This is techno-racism. And certainly, the more that they make the errors and the more they implement it, the more it's going to get better at it. So they actually, what's happening is that they're doing this and they probably don't even care. And they're going to get it all worked out. And they're just going to keep feeding it data. And the more that you can report errors at the expense of somebody who may get arrested, for example, the more likely it's going to be better in the next 1 to 2 or 5 years. I mean, we know Amazon just put out a statement this week, a press release, and it was covered in like Gizmodo and Engadget and things like that, that they've already expanded their facial recognition surveillance tool, Recognition with a K, R-E-K. It can actually tell when you're afraid. So they're already teaching it to be able to not just identify who you are, but they're putting in 7 different emotional states, angry, happy, sad, fearful, and I forget the other few. But now they're already pretty certain that their accuracy is incredibly good on being able to detect fear. And I don't think it takes a real creative imagination to see where this is going. So I just wanted to mention this part about the racial problems of facial recognition software, just to remind us all, to remind myself, that that should never be our number one opposition. If you want to point it out because it's true, because it is, that's fine. But I think that if you leave it at that, with it's something that I notice a lot of activists doing. They're focusing solely on this, that it's not good at what it does. The technology mismatches people. It catches people incorrectly. It points out people wrong. And if that's the only problem, not the fact that they're basically storing your face, scanning your face, searching your person's, houses, papers, and effects, they're searching your person and keeping a database of it without a warrant based on probable cause, that really is the main problem here. Not that it's really bad at identifying some people or it gets some people get less damage than others. I know we want equality, but I don't want equality and tyranny, that's for sure. So moving over to New York City, just a quick point of a story that's happening in New York. It's basically the same type of thing. They're saying that they're not going to use it as a primary tool for arrests. But there's a pretty prominent case that has come up recently, and this was published yesterday in the appeal about someone who they basically lied. They said we're only going to use this as a secondary system. We've got this facial recognition. We're going to use regular old school policing. And then if we get an additional facial recognition match, then we'll use that and that'll help us out. And we'll be able to stop terrorists and criminals and we'll be able to protect you. And here over the appeal, they say police and prosecutors claimed facial recognition technology wasn't at the center of a shoplifting case. But defense attorneys say it was the sole basis for probable cause to arrest. And I'm not really going to go into this whole debate. I think shoplifting, sometimes you have to be a little bit Walter Block about these things, defending the indefensible, defending the person who's committed a crime, because you still don't want the government to commit crimes as well either. The police commissioner, James O'Neill, said no one can be arrested on the basis of a computer match alone, so facial recognition match. And then O'Neill acknowledged, quote, that there's been some controversy about facial recognition while insisting that we use it as a lead. That's not probable cause. We're not locking anyone up based on a facial recognition hit, period. We are not locking anyone up. So Detroit, they say they're going to use this surveillance camera just to look at things, to have an archive. They say they're not going to add things like facial recognition without prior approval. Then they just go do it. Then the police chief gives us this kind of shady terminology wording to claim that they're not using it, even though they definitely are. They just kind of twist the words to confuse people because a lot of people aren't aware how this works. Then you have in New York City saying that they're not locking people up based, or they're not using facial recognition as the sole or primary way to get probable cause for arrest. But of course, there's at least one, and if there's one, there's probably others. No live lineup or photo pack was ever conducted. The single photograph produced by the system and then identified via text message is the sole basis for probable cause to arrest. At least that's what the lawsuit. So there's a defense that's saying you violated the law in arresting this person and you shouldn't be doing this. The government says, no way, we're not. And instead of actually coming to a real resolution, we don't know. Personally, I have confirmation bias that tells me that NYPD and the police commissioner there are a bunch of lying criminals. So maybe that's kind of the slant of this show here. So you take it for what it's worth. But in this case in New York, they were never actually resolved. On the day that the trial was about to begin, this is over again from the appeal, Bronx prosecutors decided to significantly reduce the charges against him from a felony to a misdemeanor with a sentence of time served. Because if you understand how this process works, this to me is a red flag that they were actually violating the law. They weren't allowed to do this. They are using a process that they're not supposed to be, and they don't want it uncovered. They don't want it to be public knowledge. So this is something that plays out on stingray surveillance. If you're familiar with these cell site simulator boxes, these are basically mobile units that can go into a police car. They're generally funded by the Department of Justice, the FBI, or they get grants for it, or they're handed out from the federal government to local police. And what they do is they trick a cell phone into connecting to the cell site simulator, the Stingray, which is a brand name from Harris Corporation, before it connects to the cell tower. So there they can download all your communication, your location, and the like, and you don't even notice. It's a seamless transition. And what they are instructed to do based on a non-disclosure agreement is to lose cases when you have a smart prosecutor who's figuring out that they're using these without warrant. So what government tends to do is when they want to kind of shove something under the rug, they'll hit somebody with a potential long sentence, and then they'll offer them something reduced to just drop out. Because realistically, someone would rather just not go to jail than fight something on principle and potentially lose. And that's what I think they pointed out here as well. Andre had already spent several months in jail, so he took the deal rather than go to trial and risk significantly more jail time. Still, Frontier said she believed the police were misleading about how important facial recognition was to their case. I don't personally trust what's going on in New York City. I don't trust any of these government agencies at all. And it's not the only place. Here in California, there's a piece of legislation, AB 1215, Assembly Bill 1215, that already passed the Assembly by a large number. It's gone through all the committees in the state Senate, and it's up for a third and final reading in the state Senate. One single vote. There's no more debate, no amendments, nothing. would send the bill to the governor's desk. And what AB 1215 would do would ban facial recognition from police body cameras. I know a lot of people during the whole police accountability and the Ferguson thing wanted to put cameras on police. And some good people that I know, including myself, suggested that this was just going to be a mass surveillance tool. You can't trust cops with more surveillance tools. Don't put more cameras around. This is going to be bad stuff. Of course, whenever they're doing something wrong, maybe the camera malfunctioned. And I think they're smart enough to do an end run around that when they need to. So this legislation in California would ban it from police body cams, not everywhere. In San Francisco, they banned facial recognition everywhere. Oakland and Berkeley are up next. Cambridge and Somerville, Massachusetts are already taking this type of step on a local level, but this would be on a state level on police. New Hampshire has already done this. So Free State Project people, I think back in 2017, supported legislation to do the same in New Hampshire and Oregon also that same year. So this is already happening in some places, and there is a lot of opposition to it from passing. I think they missed this bill right off the bat. We've been following it since day one last year. It's a two-year session in California. And I think the opposition, the lobby groups, kind of slid under the radar. And now it's at the very last stage. And all of a sudden, there's aggressive lobbying from law enforcement groups saying that if you don't have this, it's going to be dangerous. Suddenly, you need something that they didn't need forever because the technology didn't even exist, is an absolute must now. And so just this week, it was last week, a picture, this is from CNN. Sorry, guys, I know you probably don't like the source, but it was the one that formatted to fit the page the best here. I wanted to use one from the Epic Times, but their sidebar is a mess. Anyways, here's the report. A picture of every state California state legislator was run through a facial recognition program that matches facial images to a database of 25,000 criminal mugshots. This is a really good political stunt by the ACLU of California. The program falsely flagged 26 legislators as criminals. 26 legislators. I mean, it's probably the most correct that this facial recognition software has ever been, because all those 26 legislators are absolutely criminals. It probably is. It's underreporting that. I shouldn't make too much of a joke. The ACLU, basically everyone has access to Amazon's recognition software. You could sign up and it's just going to cost you a couple bucks and you can start building databases and running pictures through it, and it's going to do matches, and they're going to use that to improve their algorithm. So ACLU, I guess, is helping them along with this, but I think they're trying to make a point, because I guess the argument that this is illegal to do, it's dangerous, you can't trust people, doesn't really resonate with politicians. So they have to try to make it personal. Look, even you, Mr. State Senator or Ms. Senator or Assembly Member or person or whatever they call it in Sacramento, even you can get misidentified and seen as criminal. So that's what I think they were trying to do. They're trying to point out that, like, look, even you sitting here talking about this law, whether it's good or bad, could be pointed out as a criminal. Of course, they'll have a way to get out of it. Not someone down in Compton or Watts, Boyle Heights or something like that in a poorer neighborhood. Of course not. And this is what they had to say. This experiment reinforces the fact that facial recognition software is not ready for prime time, let alone for use in body cameras worn by law enforcement. That's from Assemblymember Phil Ting, who sponsored the bill. And I think, again, this is the same message that I'm warning out. If Phil Ting, the bill is actually very good. Phil is a hard leftist, so I know a lot of conservative or libertarian or constitutionalist type are going to think, he's got to be bad, but whatever. It's actually a really good piece of legislation that would ban this type of warrantless surveillance from police body cams. But he's making an argument based on something that's going to be problematic in the future. Again, it's not ready for prime time. So he's already conceding the fact that he's okay with it once the technology has gotten better. And even if they ban it in California, it's going to be used elsewhere. And then they're going to improve it. This is not a regional thing. Amazon is not, or whoever. Microsoft has a version of this. I'm sure other companies are out there that are making it available to law enforcement. They're just going to improve it. And so Phil is already the bill is good, but his approach to it is actually, I think, very dangerous. I'm going to keep hammering on that message. So it misidentified 26 legislators, and ACLU has been basically tweeting the picture of the legislators, or at least ACLU of Northern California has been tweeting this image to all the legislators who have been misidentified. One false match is one too many. For those of you who are watching on video rather than listening on the podcast, you can see them all listed there. There's one in the bottom right-hand corner. It says ACLU of California. One person, I guess, declined to have their image in this. Surprising that they got approval for everybody. I would have just put it out anyways. But there's people of all different colors and races and genders, backgrounds. They've all been misidentified as criminals. And here's what they have to say. Even if this is good, at least from ACLU, they make a much better argument. Even if this technology was accurate, which it is not, face recognition enabled body cameras would facilitate massive violations of Californians' civil rights. Much better. Not a perfect argument, but much better. Because they're saying even if it's good, even if it does what they say it's going to do, it's still a problem. So what the ACLU is doing, and Amazon actually is going after the ACLU on this. They're complaining about it. They're saying the ACLU is being scammy. Same with EFF, Electronic Frontier Foundation. What Amazon is doing, or what ACLU is doing, is they're taking the software, and you can actually, there's basically a slider in the software. You can change what's called a confidence score. Amazon says that you're going to be the most accurate when you put it at 99%. 99% confidence you're telling the software don't make a match unless it's 99% sure that it's correct. To me, even 1%. So if 1 out of 100 people are misidentified as a criminal based on bad software, that in itself is a tragedy as well. I don't want anyone to be misidentified by this stuff. And I don't want them to do mass surveillance without a warrant based on probable cause either. So that's also bad. So what ACLU is doing, though, is they're running it at 80% confidence, because when you get the software, it tells you that's the minimum that's needed. A lot of these law enforcement agencies are just going to adjust that. If Amazon really believes that you have to have it at 99%, they should just ship it at 99% or ship it at 100%. But what they're doing is they're allowing law enforcement agencies to lower it to 80%. And we're finding that all these legislators have been correctly named as criminals because of this. So I guess lowering it, at least on a legislative body, is a good thing. Now, the Sheriff's Association is very aggressively lobbying against this. So are some local police agencies. Most of the opposition to banning law enforcement from having facial recognition surveillance in California is law enforcement. There isn't a lot of general public that is opposing this at all. Most of the grassroots groups, whether it's left, right, or center, libertarian, conservative, socialist, whatever it may be, they've all the grassroots that have been putting a statement out on this have generally been in favor. There are probably some outliers that are opposed to it as well. But this is how the Sheriff's Association statement reads, quote, "By banning this technology, California will be announcing to the nation and world that it doesn't want our law enforcement officers to have the necessary tools they need to properly protect the public and attendees of these events." They're talking about Coachella, the Rose Bowl. I mean, I'm not sure of a lot of criminal activity that goes on at Coachella. I mean, that they need to be able to scan everybody. I don't know if the Rose Parade or the Rose Bowl has had much. I mean, it's a police state lockdown already. And I think they're just using this fear-mongering. We've always heard that there's going to be, if there wasn't an additional government power, someone is going to die in the streets. Of course, they tell us this about confiscating everyone's firearms. They tell us this about implementing gun control. They tell us this about surveillance under the NSA, the Patriot Act, foreign policy. It's always some kind of fear-mongering. And weak, spineless people go along with this, saying, yes, of course we want government to have more power. I don't care about my liberty. As Ben Franklin said, those who give up a little liberty to gain some temporary security will get neither and deserve neither. And that's, of course, a paraphrase. They go on and they say, John Marish, this is the mayor, John Marish. Wow. I used to work for a guy named Michael Marish. I wonder if it's the same family. Sorry about that, guys. Anyways, this technology allows law enforcement agencies to compare the images of hundreds of thousands of individuals, which saves time and agency resources. Hundreds of thousands of people are in a database under access by the Beverly Hills Police Department. Beverly Hills is not a massive city at all. What is... Let me see what their population is. I'm just looking at Wiki. Oh, man, they've got all kinds of donate things up here. Population, 5.7 square miles and a population of 34,000 people. But according to the mayor of Beverly Hills, you can only save time and resources by having access to hundreds of thousands of individuals. It's pretty nasty stuff in my view. Over in Detroit, again, this is really, I think Detroit is where it's really catching on, at least some resistance to it, because there is a strong grassroots movement to stop it, but the law enforcement agencies are already implementing it. This is how Mike put it. There was also a concern that the photograph of anyone who gets a Michigan State ID or driver's license is searchable by state and local law enforcement and the FBI, likely without their knowledge. So unfortunately, this is why Beverly Hills has access to hundreds of thousands, probably much more than that. This is probably an understatement, because all of these photos are being fed into a national database. They're all being shared through fusion centers, for example. They're all being shared through Information Sharing Environment, ISE, which came out of the Patriot Act time. And they're being shared in the FBI's next-gen biometric database. So everyone's getting access to this stuff, and it's just making it worse and worse and worse. And Mike summed his article up like this. George Orwell's Big Brother would have drooled over the all-encompassing surveillance system quietly under construction in the United States. Facial recognition technology linked to federal, state, and local databases can track your every move just by pointing a camera at your face. It effectively turns each of us into a suspect standing in a perpetual lineup. And the speed that it can do it, if we just... I have not researched the speed that it can match faces, but I do know for a fact that automated license plate readers, which are set up on freeways, like fast track systems, toll systems, whatever it may be, they can do somewhere around 1,000 license plates per minute. At a speed of 60, 70, 80 miles an hour. To think that they're not going to be able to just scan an entire crowd. Wow, I'm hitting my microphone. Sorry about that. They're not going to be able to scan a crowd and get everyone at that crowd, at a protest, at a church, at a gun show, any of these things, and know everybody who's there and build a profile on it. Anyone who thinks that they're not trying to do this is stupid, because they've been doing this all along, and this just makes it worse. It makes it easier for them to violate our rights. I think Mike puts it real well by it turns each of us into a suspect standing in a perpetual lineup. And again, with predictive policing, with threat assessment, and then you add all of this together and you really, really have a crazy system coming our way here. Taking a look over at the live chat. Oh, a lot of interesting stuff. Hi to Dennis, Pamela over on Facebook, Mario, Owen, Don Freya, Dennis Marburger, appreciate you guys being here. Justin Bayola says it this way: no need to get witnesses when the computer says it's so, of course. And that's the point. It's basically Skynet. They're building a Skynet. Whether it's going to be able to start executing people or not is another story. Of course, tinfoil hat. Bob Brewer: my 94-year-old mom got a red light camera violation at 1 a.m. Sunday morning. She hadn't driven in 5 years. Camera was over 100 miles away? I don't know how that works. That's wild. I guess they could have it on a drone, too. I'm not sure. Ward Lawrence, profiling is going high tech. And yeah, and I know, I just want to harp on this, because I know a lot of people think profiling is only on people based on race. And they certainly do that, but I think profiling is really for all of us. They want to profile on everybody. They want to know who you are, who you're with, where you're going, what you're buying, what you're doing, what you're saying, what you're thinking at all times. And at some point, even if you trust the people in power today, you love your government people, which I'm going to tell you, you're nuts if you do, but let's say you do, At some point, someone in the future is going to have access to all that stuff, and it's going to be really, really bad. Brock Story, I appreciate your feedback. I love this way to look into it, Mike. I mean, it is not easy, really, to kind of break this down, so I appreciate it. Bob asks, is Google's facial recognition still available? I used it in 2007 for a reunion. And are you talking about the Google Glass? I don't think they're making that anymore at all. Brock Story asks, what about twins? We can't violate the rights of one because the other is bad and they could be targeted as a massive criminal. Yes. You know, I chuckle at that, but this is basically what they're doing to everybody. They're saying there might be someone, and again, if you're thinking the next generation of this is pre-crime, especially when you're talking about, for example, the TAPS Act, which is being pushed by Republicans and Democrats in Congress as a way to protect people, to do pre-crime on gun violence, for example, on mass shootings, insane people going out and murdering people. And I think I want to cover that. Maybe I will on Friday, maybe sometime next week, a little bit more detail. But yeah, you're basically profiling everyone as a way to do pre-crime to stop people in the future. Funky euphemism, all legislators are criminals. So yeah, I guess you're probably with me in pointing out that these 26 people, where are they? One false match is one too many. These are the only ones that seems to have gotten correct. So, is the real ID involved with this, ask Austrian Watchman? I don't know. Outside of the fact that when you go to the DMV and you get your picture taken, in most places, I know in some places they're probably still not, and I just don't have a list off the top of my head. But as soon as you get that DMV picture, and especially the real ID compliant ones, that is all being fed into a national database. This is a national ID card that has 50 different states listed on it. It's illegal. It's unconstitutional. I know a lot of people like it because of what they claim it's being used for, but there's no authority in the Constitution for the federal government to mandate identification cards on the states. This is nonsense. So it is certainly involved. Driver's license, the DMV is involved because they're feeding the data to everyone. Certainly, we know that's happening in Michigan. It's probably happening here in California. I'm not sure. Austrian Watchman, I'm not sure where you are as well. Bob Brewer says this was a Chromebook app well before Glass. No, I'm not familiar with it. I'm certain that Google has some really good facial recognition technology as well. Google Goggles is still around. Defending Father, nullification is one of the few tools we have, but it's made difficult as the federal government pumps money and equipment into the states. And when it comes to surveillance tools, the federal government is absolutely handing out tons of gear. They want. So I know the NSA is a big problem, but the NSA is not the only. And I did an episode on Monday again about NSA surveillance and Section 215, the administration pushing for a permanent renewal of that in unconstitutional illegal surveillance authority. But the NSA is far from the only one. And some people tell me, who cares about this local surveillance stuff? But if the government didn't want to do the granular local surveillance, really getting detailed profiles of where people are, where they're going, what they're doing, who they're with, they didn't want this, they wouldn't be funding it. I don't think it's just some kind of corporatist profit thing. I mean, maybe I could be proven wrong in the future, but they certainly are handing out tons of grants, hundreds of thousands of dollars sometimes. So I know the Houston Police Department got like $300,000 for surveillance drones in recent years as well. So whether it's license plate readers, facial recognition technology, Stingray devices, cell site simulators, all of these things are generally being paid for with government grants. And the government grants oftentimes, if not always, comes from Washington, D.C. So Austrian Watchman, right, Santa Clarita, you mentioned this as well. National database, isn't that what Al-Qaeda translates to? I don't know. Frank I said that. Brock Story, way to ruin my day. Sorry about that. The funky euphemism points out some jury nullification. That is definitely an important part because this is a tough thing to use nullification on. Certainly what's happening in San Francisco, Oakland, Berkeley, Cambridge, Somerville, Michigan, there's a piece of legislation, AB 1215. Basically what needs to happen is because you don't want the Bernie Sanders law. You don't want the federal government being in charge of local police. That is so dangerous. And in many ways, it already is. It's way too involved in local policing. It shouldn't be involved at all. And if someone's going to be really awful, if Arizona is going to be really awful on surveillance, that sucks. But the feds aren't going to fix that. The only way to fix that is to encourage people to move to other states that are better or less bad. We don't want a one-size-fits-all solution from the privacy nightmare that is Washington, D.C. So while some people want to do this nationwide ban, the way forward right now, before it gets out of control, and I think it's pretty close to out of control already, but there's still, I think, a little bit of time left to be able to stop this or to at least slow it down, I don't know. But to have four cities now very close to fully banning, I think three have fully banned, and we're looking at a fourth. Michigan has legislation to fully ban it across the whole state. The body cams have already been banned from having facial recognition in New Hampshire and Oregon, and then hopefully here in California as well. This is the way forward, state or very local. I think it's better off to do local action to get an ordinance passed that bans them from using this type of thing. Of course, you're going to have some places like Detroit that they're going to do it anyways. But out of 100, even if you stop half, if you stop 10 of them out of 100, 10 is better than 100. Stopping 10 is better than stopping zero. So anyways, I'm rambling at this point. I hope you guys find this really interesting. Oh, Brock Story, Michigan under. I think the bill that you want to support off the top of my head, it's Senate Bill SB342. So if you look up on the Michigan legislature website, the bill is Senate Bill 342. There's also Senate Bill 341. I'm not sure which one. They're both surveillance or privacy, pro-privacy bills. So they're both very good to support. I've researched them. Mike Meharry's researched them. They're both in committee. The sponsor is the actual committee chair. So you want to look up those bills and definitely contact them and ask them to support that legislation. Anyways, I really, really appreciate you guys spending some time with me today. I hope this was educational and interesting to watch. You enjoyed it. If you like the show, you support what we're doing, make sure to smash the like, leave some comments, even in the archive. Subscribe, get bell notifications. If you're on iTunes, I really appreciate the reviews there. That's helping us reach a lot more people in the podcast. The podcast edition was really an afterthought. I didn't even start it for the first few months that we did the show last year. We just passed our year anniversary at the end of July, and I didn't even think of it. But now we're starting to get more and more podcast listeners. So I really appreciate all the reviews because it pushes us up in the search results as you do that. Anyways, thanks again for watching. I'll be back on Friday. A quick note, I will not be doing a live show on Monday morning. I've got my brother and nephews in town this weekend for an annual visit, so I won't have time to prep for a show on Monday. But I'm working pretty hard to try to get this great interview between Mike Meharry and Jose Nino on some gun control things. I'm trying to get that done. It's about an hour-long interview that I will try to have ready by the time that this show would normally happen on Monday morning. So stay tuned for that as well. Again, thanks for watching. The archives are over at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/PathToLiberty, and I'll see you on Friday. Have a great day.